2006 Victory in Jesus and stand, sing all three verses. Toward that end. Brother Junior Haley, lead us in prayer this time.
Preacher, Lord, as you come, Brother, I pray, Lord, Father, you give the message we stand in need of. Pray, Father, your Spirit would just work in the midst, Lord, that you'd help us just to see revival, Lord. We thank you and praise you, God, for all that you do. Pray, Lord, that you just have your will and your way, that you be glorified, Lord. Your name be that above everything. We ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, fellowship song. 175. Let's sing the first verse and shake hands, and then we'll come back on the last. 175.
Thank you. my son.
Thank you. Excuse my murder. Do I smell like burning wood?
No. Cigarettes? Okay. Either one's okay. I prefer the wood.
Called men preachers. Now, ladies, you know you preach really well, but we're not talking about that right now, okay? All right, we're going to talk about the men preachers. We'll be a little bit prejudiced, okay? All right, men preachers, stand up. We're going to introduce yourselves for us, okay? All right, let's start over here, Brother Jim. Appreciate these gentlemen being here.
Amen.
Good to have them in the house of the Lord tonight. Now, Brother Junior's from out in Bassett, don't he? He just said north side, and there's plenty of north sides, but that's the Bassett north side. So he came a pretty fur piece too tonight. So I appreciate all these men coming tonight and being here in the service. And let's see if we have any visitors tonight. I think Miss Jackie's got some visitors. You want to introduce your visitors for us tonight, sister? All right. Thank you so much for coming, and we appreciate that. I think everybody probably came by, and we need to make sure when we have visitors, we'll make sure they get their hands shaken, and we treat them so many ways, they got to like one of them. All right. So I appreciate them coming. Miss Jackie, I tell you what, we got a tape, and we got some books up here. I want you to come after the service and see which one you want for bringing visitors tonight. So you be sure and come check that out. So I appreciate you working and bringing some folks tonight, okay? All right, let's pray. We were supposed to have Brother James Lane from Bethel Baptist tonight, and he had a prior engagement. He was got things kind of mixed up, so he's not able to be here. But we've got Sister Teresa going to sing, and I know that you'll enjoy that. She's going to sing two specials for us tonight. So you pray for her, okay?
Oh, sacred Lamb, you knew my name, you knew my heart, you knew my frame, you knew what I could never know, you went where I could never go. Oh, sacred Lamb, thou sacred Lamb, you died alone and you took my stand to make me clean and white as snow. To Calvary you had to go. You became as sin simple, humble man, just to save my soul, O sacred Lamb. Your side was pierced, your heart was torn, a crown of thorns your head adorned, and with those nails there in your hand, carried away sins of mortal man. One day you'll come and take us home. You'll come for those you've called your own. And with my eyes I'll finally see that sacred Lamb who lives in me. Oh, sacred Lamb, thou sacred Lamb, you died alone and you took my stand to make me clean and white as snow. To Calvary you had to go, and you became a sinful, humble man, just to save my soul, O sacred Lamb. Just to save my soul, O sacred Lamb. Just to save my soul, O sacred Lamb. David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him. When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. How many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all the Savior has done. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him? When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him? When I can see no way, he makes a way. And did I mention that he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him, that's all I want to say. And did I mention that he's been faithful to every promise he's ever made me? I love him. That's all I want to say. I love him. That's all I want to say.
Well, before you go down, Miss Teresa, you know, preacher said last night, he told me, he said, you can flat make a piano sing. And I remember going to where he's pastoring now, but when I was a young Christian, we used to go down to Willis Memorial Baptist Church, and I remember a lady there, and he knows a whole lot better than I do about, was her first name Evelyn?
Evelyn Lewis.
And I remember she'd take her shoes off, and she'd play the organ, wouldn't she? Didn't she play the organ? And
played the organ, if no one was there, played the piano, she'd play the piano.
But she'd take it, she'd go all over that organ. Yes, took her. I remember that. And then, so I remember that from being a young Christian. And then my first church ever pastored, we had a lady, her name was Sister Beulah. Sister Beulah Ruiz. And buddy, you'd have to have a fire extinguisher close to the church. She'd set those ivories on fire. And then I think of Miss Teresa and the great job that she does, and such a blessing, and ministers, and so I appreciate that. We've got just a few minutes before we're going to turn it over to the preacher. Let's do something tonight. Let's get the brown book. See if you can find an old brown book close by. Brother Buddy, you don't have to come back up here. But what page, sisters, I'd rather be an old-time Christian?
204.
So if you can find an old one of these old brown books, they should be hopefully someplace close to you. Okay? And we're going to sing all three verses of some of you may not know this song. If you don't know songs out of the Stamps Baxter, shame on you.
That's right.
You need to. It's some of the best music there is. And if songs out of this book doesn't light your fire, your wood is wet. Okay? All right, Brother Bill's got some books. Okay, 204. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. Let's stand and sing all three verses. Thank you. old-time Christian. Anything you know, say big amen right there. All right, thank you. We'll let you be seated. Thank you for that good singing tonight. Well, we had a good start to our revival meeting last night, and I appreciate the good message that the preacher brought to us and a good moving of the Lord on the service. And we're going to pray, God, you know, last night's over. We need something tonight. And so let's pray God will fill our cup tonight, and it'll be full and overflowing. So, Preacher Alcorn, come on up and bring the word of the Lord to us. This is the right one, Brother Julius?
Okay. Got me on.
Is it Test. Doing?
Hello. 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 Hey. Hey, good afternoon. Good to see you tonight. Appreciate you coming. I tell you, it's always good to come into the house and know that God is present. And know that we can sing those songs. Teresa, I tell you what, you blessed our heart. I like that. I really do. I don't know. I wonder if that hymn book is still in print. It's not. You don't know? You think it is? Okay. Tim, write that down for us, and we'll try to get Martinsville Bookstore to run it down for us. Okay? I appreciate these preachers coming tonight. Now, one of you young guys should take my place. Amen? Amen, Brother Tim. I hope he does. Tim, give me a card before coming to the pulpit. Jesus will provide. Bless his heart. Tim's so faithful. He loves to give out cards. All righty. Appreciate you inviting today. Let me encourage you to come tomorrow night. Invite. Let's have a good number. And it's a good number here tonight. And we appreciate you coming. And I trust that as we come together and study God's word, that God speaks to our heart. And I pray that we don't leave here Saturday morning and say we've had a series of meetings. I pray we'll have a revival. Amen. I pray that God comes down and visits us and convicts us of our life, and we change some things in our life, and we leave here on Friday night determined to do something for the Lord Jesus. That's the need of our churches today. These fellows pastor different churches, and I'll guarantee every one of them will say amen. Because there's a need in all of our churches, and that is for men, women, boys, and girls to get on fire for the Lord Jesus. And there are so many people that are lost and on their way to hell, and they depend on us to give them the gospel message. So I pray that maybe I can say something, I'll do something in the service that will stir your hearts. Many more songs like we just sang, Teresa, will stir us all, I'll tell you that. It really will. Have your Bible turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, don't get excited, fellas. I'm not going to preach on tithing. I'm not going to preach on tithing. And I realize that this probably has, and I know I have several times in my ministry in the last 40 years, I've used this same text and talked about tithing. But I'm not going to talk about tithing tonight. I'm going to change courses just a little bit here, because I believe that there's more to it than tithing here in this 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I realize that in these two particular chapters here in Corinthians, probably has more to say about tithing than anywhere else in the New Testament. I realize that. But I want to zero in on verse 5. But I'm going to read with you the first 6 verses and talk to you about the verses and see exactly what God is saying to us. Paul here is having some mighty fine things to say about the Church of the Laodicean Church. He's having some mighty fine things to say about that. He says that they, first of all, look at verse 5, they gave themselves. And that's what I want to see where we end tonight on this is the subject. I challenge Faith Baptist Church tonight, every member, from pastor down to the custodian, to give of themselves. And we know if we give of ourselves, things will happen for God's glory. Things will happen. God will use us, and the reason that he doesn't use us is because we're not willing to give ourselves. But if we give ourselves, he will do a work in our heart. He'll stir this church. He'll revive this community. And things will happen for God's glory. And that's why the church was established some, give or take, 70 years ago. No, not quite that long. I must remember Brother Poovey putting the roof on this church. I was building a church in Martinsville at the same time that he was putting this roof on. And I came by here one day, and I saw those rafters, and I stopped. And this is where I got the idea of putting a roof in Clearview Baptist Church, Brother Van, was right here at this church. That must have been somewhere right around 76, 77. Am I close, girls? Okay, I'm close there, okay? All right, and let's begin reading at verse 1, if you would, chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on all the churches of Laodicea, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but now here it is. Now get zero in right here on this verse, verse 5. But first gave them their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus, that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. May God add his blessings to the reading and the hearing of his precious holy word. Now, when you think about the church of Laodicea, the Laodicean church, you're probably talking about two or three different churches. Very easily, it could be included the Thessalonia church, the church of Philippi, and probably the church of Berea. And of course, Paul here was talking to the Corinthian church as he wrote these letters. And he was talking to them and telling them that they needed to experience the marvelous grace that had happened there in Laodicea. He was talking to them and saying that you need to go to the Macedonia church and see what God was doing in their life. You know, it's refreshing to note that that here is someone that had praise and honor and glory to the church of the living God. We have today so much being said about the church, so much being said about the church, that we need to have people that are members of the church to be consistent in their talk and their walk about the church that we belong to. Now, there are certain principles that we all obey as Christians. And I think we should obey those principles as Christians, because a lot of times we go up and down the highway and the only Bible that some people read are our lives. And if our lives do not share forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, people come up short. I have said this many times now. I don't know whether you fellas are going to agree with this or not, but I believe with all of my heart that there will be many people at the great white throne judgment. And we as Christians will be there also with the Lord Jesus, not to be judged, but we'll be there with him as he judged the lost people. And I believe with all of my heart many people will be condemned to hell, and they could look at some of us and say, had you lived right, had you talked right, had you walked right, I wouldn't be here today. So it's so important. It's so important that we as Christians put on the whole armor of God so that people can say about us as they did the church of the Macedonia church. It's so important. I'm having trouble with that word tonight. David, you need to hit me just a little bit. Now, nowhere do we see Paul praising men. But we know that when we praise men, they become proud. And we don't want to be proud people. We want to be humble people. We want to be people that God can use. And he wanted the Corinthians to know that through the liberality that had been given to the churches of the Macedonia church, that God had blessed them and he would bless the church of Corinth. And these men, I've had the privilege to be in their churches. Just last year I had a revival for Brother Clint up the Firestone. It's been years since I've been in Tabernacle Church. Of course, David's been there just about a year, Brother David. You become pastor about 4 months ago, 5 months ago. And Brother Tim is, in fact, Brother Tim is the pharmacist up at Roman Eagle Nursing Home. He works in the pharmacy department. He's a pharmacist. And he is with us and designed to have a church, do what God has called him to do. And so you pray for Tim and pray for us as we seek God's will in his life. But it's so good that we have people that will say something good about your church. Now, these chapters give us an extended and a complete section on Christian giving. I'm not going to deal with that tonight. I believe with all of my heart, when we get right with God, that the giving takes care of itself. I believe that will take care of itself. So I'm not going to preach on tithing, so don't get excited. Don't get excited. Here we see that Paul is saying to them that he has the marvelous grace of God has been displayed in all these churches. Now, I want to testify that the same grace of God that Paul is talking about here in the book of Corinthians is the same grace of God that you and I can enjoy tonight. Even though we're 20 centuries, 21 centuries later, but God is still on his throne, the door hadn't been shut, and God still wants to bless his church. And the reason that he don't bless his church is because we as an individual don't let him bless his church. God has a desire, now listen to me real close. God has a desire to give every church a total victory. But let me ask you this. How many churches do you know really want a total victory? In order to have a total victory, we must believe God. And until you believe God, you will never receive total victory at Faith Baptist Church. You've got to trust God. Believe what he can do. Believe what he has done in the past. I'm sure that many years ago, you folks remember this church field. I'm sure that you remember that you've had services here and you had revival services and you kept the baptismal pool cold, with people being saved. Well, my people, God's still on his throne. We serve the same God. We have the same community. In fact, you hold more people in the community today than Brother Poovy did when he started years ago. And the thing we must do is go out into the highway and hedges and reach these people and tell them about the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul here calls this to wit, or to witness. Now, what is Paul talking about witnessing? Look with me at verse 2. Look with me at verse 2. Paul says, there's joy in great trials. Let me ask you something, Christians. What about you preachers? Let me ask you preachers. I'll put you four men on the spot this afternoon. Do you ever have any trials in your ministry? Clint, I know you've had a few. I've talked to you about some of yours. I haven't talked to David much about his, but I'm sure David pastors a church. He has some trials. Amen, David? What about up Northside, Junior? Tim's a new kid on the block. He don't know about these trials yet, but let me tell you something, Tim. You hang with it, you'll find out about them. Amen, fellas? You talk to these guys right here in the front seat, they'll tell you about some of those trials. But Paul says there's joy in great trials. Look at verse 2. Have that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Paul says there's joy in trials. The trials of a believer's life in Paul's day, I believe with all of my heart, was far greater than the trials that you and I face today. But Paul said, you have an abundance of joy. You have an abundance of joy. I want to report to Satan and all of his enemies and to any questionable person that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ that there, you will face trials as you walk the Christian walk. But believe you me, there is an abundant joy when God gives you that victory. There's an abundant joy when God gives you the victory. I have been in the ministry 45 years, and I know what a trial is. I know what sorrow is. I know what hardship is. But I can stand here tonight and tell you on the bottom of my heart, God be my witness, I have never had a trial so severe in my life that I had to the thought in my life that I didn't want to be a preacher. I've never thought about quitting. I never have. I believe with all of my heart, God called me to preach in 1969. He laid his hand upon me. And yes, there have been and will continue to be trials and tribulations. Why? Because we deal with people. We deal with people. And as long as we deal with people, we know we're going to have some trials. But I can say from the bottom of my heart, I have never been sorry that I accepted Christ as my Savior, that I answered the call to the gospel ministry. I never have. Let's look at verse 2 again. And in that great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound unto the riches of their liberality. Paul says, not only are you going to have some great trials, but there's going to be some deep poverty. Deep poverty. Now, the Church of Laodicea, Macedonia, I keep saying it wrong. David, help me, buddy. The Church of Macedonia didn't have much of this world's goods, but they gave what they had to the Lord. They shared their abundance with with other people that had need. God, and we just sang about that in the song that we sung that Brother Van said would make your wood burn. We sang about how God has blessed us and what God can do in our life. Thank God you don't have to have money in the bank to be happy. The church don't have to have a big payroll, a big savings account to be a church on fire for God. After all, nowhere do I remember reading in the scripture where a church is supposed to be in the bank in business. I realize it takes money to operate the church. It takes money to pay the expense. It takes money to pay the pastor. It takes money to light the sanctuary, to cool the sanctuary, to warm the sanctuary. It takes money to do all of these things. But let me say this to you. You don't have to have stocks and bonds to have real wealth. You don't have to have all that this world has to offer. Brother Van, you remember George Lawrence, when he used to pray, George would say, I'd rather have my salvation than have all the gold there is at Fort Knox. You remember him saying that? George is saying the same thing. Paul is saying to the church, you don't have to have all of these things to be happy. You don't have to have all of these things. You see, God has a way of making his children rich. What do you mean, preacher? Rich in things that money can't buy. Yes, there is deep poverty. There are people today that are hurting. And the thing we must do is to be the church on this side of the highway that other people can know that we love Jesus. Teresa just sang about her love for Jesus. And that's what it's all about, folks. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Now, we talked about great trials. We talked about deep poverty. Now, Paul says to the church of Corinth, says there's going to be some strong adversity. If you fellas faced any strong adversity, Devan, you ever faced any adversity in your life? What about it, buddy? You have had an adversity in your life? Look what it says in verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Now, this church was just a handful, kind of like you folks are here. And that made up the church. And everyone thought that there was people against them. Doesn't that sound natural? Doesn't that sound like it is 21st century today? It was an uphill drag. I started a church back in 72. I know how hard it is to build a church. I know how difficult it is. Well, I was living in North Carolina at that time. They would pay me on Sunday afternoon, and I had to go carry my check to North Carolina on Monday to cash it because it would take about 3 or 4 days to get back. That was before the computers were in the banks. I'd give them time to put the treasurer's money in the bank on Monday so my check would clear. You remember that, Van Moore. That's the honest truth. Miss Lizzie Fowler was the treasurer. If she failed to put the money in the bank on Sunday morning, she knew she couldn't fail because she knew my check would bounce. They were just a handful of people. When I went to Cascade back in 2000, May the 1st of 2000, I went to Cascade Baptist Church, called myself retired. That's my home church. I was married in that church. I was ordained as a deacon in that church. I was ordained as a minister in that church. And I've been in and out of that church since it was started in 1951. All three of these guys here, and I don't think Junior's ever been there to preach in it, but all three of those guys have been in the pulpit at Willis Memorial Church. When Junior and I went there in 2000, May the 1st of 2000, there were 11 people present that Sunday morning. 11 people. Honest to God, they had a stack of bills that high. They could not buy Sunday school literature on credit. Their credit had been taken up. Does that sound familiar? But my people, God began to bless. People got excited about what God was doing. They realized they had some adversity. They realized that people were against them. But they realized that greater was he that was in us than he that's within the world. They realized that he can do all things through Christ that strengthened us. And they went to work. And bless God, we got the job done. We had 93 in service Sunday morning. 93. I've been there something over 12 years. We've baptized around 60 people in the last 12 years. When I went there, the baptismal pool had rusted out. The heater was no longer working. Folks, it can be done. But we've got to have a group of believers that believe it can be done. You've got to have a group of believers that can follow the leadership of this pastor, his dear wife, and go out here and get people under the sound of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not your responsibility to get them saved. It's your responsibility to get them in the church and let the God that man preaches, the gospel that man preaches, let that do the work in their heart and life, and souls will be saved. You can't save them. You can get them in church. Yes, it's hard. It's uphill drag. But the Bible says, look what it says, for they had power. Where do you think that power came from? Come on, preachers, tell me where the power came from. It came from God, did it not? Let me give you something. Get a pencil, write this down, boys. You'll want this. You'll use it again one day. Got a pencil? Everybody ready? Some prayer, some power. You agree with that, Van? More prayer, more power. You agree with that, Van? Some prayer, some power. More prayer, more power. Much prayer, much power. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's the way churches are built. That's the way people are saved. Look what he says. He said, and they shall receive an unlimited abundance of power. Do you believe the power of God is still available to this church? Come on, fellas. Come on, ladies. You believe the power of God is still available to Faith Baptist Church? Amen. God hadn't shut the door. It's up to us as an individual to go out here and do what God has called us to do. It's up to us. All of these graces that we're talking about, look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. But first gave their own selves to the Lord. I dare say if I were to start here with Brother Van. Brother Van told us last night he was saved in 74, and go back through here, and all of us would have a different salvation experience. It'd be different dates on all of our salvation experiences, unless there's some husband and wife here who were saved at the same time. But here we see that God is saying that He will bless us if we give ourselves. Now, when we accepted Christ as our Savior, we laid it all out on the altar. We realized the need in our life. Been a long time since I was saved. I was saved in 1949. Many things has happened in the last 60-some years. But I can tell you one thing. I can truthfully say God has never left me one minute. I left God many times. I come short of God's glory many times, but God has never left me at one time in His life. What a challenge it is for the church today. We must give ourselves. Yes, God gave us salvation. God gave us eternal life. God wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. We become a part of the family of God. And God says, I want you to give yourself. Paul, writing to the Roman church, says it pretty good, does he not? How does Paul say that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And he says it's not unreasonable. I'm not asking you of anything that's unreasonable. Come on, church, if you want to grow, you got to give of yourself. You want to see this church to thrive, you want to see the church on fire for God, it's got to have some men, women, boys, and girls that are willing to give of themselves. I want to take that verse 5 and give you 3 points from that verse 5 today, tonight. And I believe that will be something that you can carry home with you. And it was something that will speak to you in days and months to come ahead. Look at verse 5. But first. All right, go back to 1949. Go back to 1974 when Van was saved, when I was saved in 49. But first, in order for us to give ourselves, something practical must take place. We must realize the need in our life. We must realize that we are lost and on our way to hell. And we cry out for God's mercy to save us. And that's practical. Every born-again child of God has a first in their life. You agree with that? They meet their need in life, and it's practical that they walk some church aisle, accept Christ as Savior, and then get involved in God's work. There is a first for everyone. Why do you say that, preacher? But I'm going to say this to you real, real polite-like, and it's going to be mean. God don't want second best. God don't want second place. Come on, fellas, give me an amen on that. It's practical that I asked you, that God's word asked you to put God first in our lives. It's been said many times, and probably bears repeating, that some Christians don't receive more out of their Christianity because they don't put more into it. I pastored three churches. I had many members that were satisfied with their life on the borderline. They had fire escape insurance, and they were satisfied with it. If you're like that tonight, let me say something to you. You are missing many, many blessings. I told you last night about the promises that God has for you. Over 8,000 in the Bible. And God says, these are yours. But first you got to give of yourself. Why do we think we've got to give of ourselves? Because of creation. Go back, Adam and Eve, when Adam and Eve were created. God created man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Put that man in a complete, perfect environment. And then he realized the man needed a helpmate. And he put him to sleep. And God created woman from his side. And she became his helpmate. And they placed him in a garden, a perfect environment, without sin in their life. But because of that sin of Eve, you and I still deal with the same sin question. The Bible says we're born in sin and conceived in iniquity. We face that sin. We accept Christ as our Savior. I'm going to say something here. I'm going to probably get these preachers riled up here. I believe that we're saved by the grace of God. I believe that we need to be saved daily from the power of sin. You think sin's powerful? What about it, Junior? Is sin powerful? If it don't, come on over to Horse Pasture from Bassett, up in Bassett Forks, and I'll show you how powerful sin is. We need to be saved from the power of sin every day. Bless God, when I gave of myself, I have the assurance not only will I be saved from sin and from the power of sin, but one day and one day soon, I'll be saved from the very presence of sin. Amen. Jesus is coming. And the thing we must do is get ready. Now you think about the creation, what God has done in your life. Just suppose, Tim, you're a pharmacist. I should have asked you this before now, but I'm going to ask you to put you on the spot. If we had to pay for the oxygen that we breathe each year, what do you think it would cost us? When I wrote this sermon, and I wrote this sermon back in 98, I was told at Chatham Library that it would cost $90,000 just for oxygen for 1 year. Since 98 to 2012, that's been 14 years. Inflation is just about double. So you could probably say just the oxygen that we breathe each year, if we had to pay for it, would be $175,000. Is that close? That's close. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go back to my first point. It's practical to put God first in your life. Look how good God has been to us. Not only is it because of the creation, but what about our conversion? That big first in our life. Who provided salvation for you? Now, we have much said today about salvation. We have much said today in America about this and that and other things. I know, and you know, there's only one way to heaven. Buddha can't do it. Confucius can't do it. Mohammed can't do it. Only God can. So we should put God first in our life because it's so practical. Just think about His blessings. The one that loved us, that died for us, shedding His precious blood for the remission of our sin, was buried. And on the third day, death, hell, and the grave could not hold the Son of God. He arose victorious. And after 40 days, ascended back to heaven, where He's now seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for all that will call upon Him. Hallelujah. Folks, that is the gospel. That's the gospel this church preaches. That's the gospel this church has preached since 1970, whatever it was organized. You have the same gospel. You have the same message. But we need to give of ourselves. Amen? All right. Why? Because of creation, because of conversion. What about consummation? Do you think the Lord's about to come back? What about it, preachers? You think that we're living in the last days? Amen. Van, you think we're living in the last days? Buddy, you think we're living in the last days? Yeah, I believe with all of my heart. Wow. Just how God's going to wind all this thing down, I have no idea. I'll tell you one thing. When God winds it down, it's imperative that God's first in my life. It's imperative that God's first in your life. That's the only thing makes life worth living, is to know that we have peace that passes all understanding. That we're right with God. Knowing, wouldn't you really like to be living when Jesus comes again? My dad and mom were buried over in Reedsville, North Carolina. I'd like to be standing there beside of their grave and see them come out of their grave. My mom and dad were dedicated Christians. Dedicated Christians. Love the Lord Jesus. One day, Jesus is going to come with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise, and then all that will remain will be caught up to be with Him forever and forever. Practical that we put Him first. That we put Him first. Let me tell you something, folks. You need to pray up. You need to pack up. You need to look up, because bless God, you're going up. When Jesus comes, hallelujah, I'm out of here. I'd like to cheat death myself. I really would. I've conducted over 1,300 funerals in my ministry. I know what it is. I've been to 2 funerals this week. Had a funeral yesterday, did myself. I know how people hurt. I like to cheat death. I'd like to just leave here with the rapture of the church. There to be with Jesus. You see, I can say that because I'm ready to face Him face to face. I'm ready to meet Him face to face. Why? Because first, I gave of myself. I gave of myself. Look at verse 5 once again. But first, gave their own selves. All right, now something practical. But first, gave their own selves. Now, what does that mean if you've given your own self? Practical? Personal. Personal. I can't do it for my wife as much as I love her. I can't do it for Darlene as much as I try to love her. They gave of their own selves. Something personal is involved. Folks, it's more than church membership. It's more than going into this baptismal pool and being baptized. It's a relationship you have with Jesus Christ. Beloved, everything about our salvation is based on a personal choice. God didn't force you to be saved. He knocked at your heart's door. You saw the need in your life. You fell on your face and you invited Jesus into your heart. What a privilege it is that God has saved us from the wrath of God. We need to give back to God ourselves. Why? Because He has given us body, soul, and spirit. He's given us life. I go back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. What does it say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is only reasonable. Now, King James don't say it like that. That's Alcorn's translation. King James says, which is your reasonable service. He says, I'm not asking anything unreasonable from you. God is never asking anything unreasonable from me. And I answered His call in 1969. Sometimes, as I told Brother Dobie Sammons the other day, I said, Brother Dobie, I just wonder if God knows how much of His grace we need to carry us through some of these difficult days in our life. God doesn't expect anything of us that is beyond reason. When Paul presented this cause, he based his request upon the mercies of God. You think about how merciful God has been to you. You think about how merciful God has been to me, to us, to the world. And then I say it's only reasonable that I give Him my all. It's only reasonable. Nothing unreasonable. Not only do I find that it's nothing unreasonable, but I want total victory in my life. Do you want total victory in your life? Do you really want total victory in your life? If you don't believe it, it'll never happen. You believe that? If you don't believe you can get total victory, you'll never know when you get it. That's right. That's right. Not only does this personal thing get involved as a reasonable service, but it's also a rewarding service. There are five crowns mentioned in the New Testament that we as Christians can earn. Five crowns, five rewards that Jesus will give us one day. The Bible says in Matthew, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wives, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit eternal life. Listen to me, folks. You don't do business with God without being rewarded for it. It gets hard to go out there to hospitals at night, during the night. Last Saturday night, I was called at 10:30. Old man, 75 years of age. Be that way Saturday, sister. Old man, 75 years of age, had to get out of the bed and go to the hospital. Stayed there after 12 o'clock. After 12 o'clock. With a man I baptized back in 1974. Yeah, it's hard. But my people, one day, when I get to heaven, old Paul Richardson going to shake my hand and say, preacher, thank you for telling me about Jesus. Thank you for giving me a good understanding about what God wants us to do. Now, we don't want to be paid for anything we do, but God wants to reward us. We give because we love Jesus. We expect nothing in return. I give of myself. And God has provided. Man, it's hard. I know it's difficult. I was a bivocational pastor for 16 years. Worked at the radio station, worked at the post office, worked by the insurance company. Just anywhere I could get a job. And pastored the church. I know how hard it is. Brother David, you've been there. You know that. Brother Clint, you've been there. Tim, you're going there. Van, you are there. You know how hard it is. But my Bible teaches me that God will bless me. He says, anything you do in God's name, even if you just give a cup of water, that He'll reward you for it. That He'll reward you for it. Okay. But first gave of themselves something practical, something personal, And then the third point is something pleasing. Look at verse 5 once again. Something pleasing. They didn't give it to the church. They didn't give it to the pastor. They didn't give it to the pope. They didn't give it to the potentate. Who did give it to? The Lord. Look at verse 5. They gave themselves to the Lord. You know, we can give ourselves to some of the greatest causes ever lived. Back in the early 60s, I had a wild streak. I'm ashamed of it, but it's truthful. I became a joiner. I was so miserable. Knew I was saved, knew that what I was doing was wrong. So I started joining organizations. First thing I joined was a Moose Club. Ended up as a 32nd degree Mason. Went all the way through the Scottish Rites right here in the Kazem Temple, the temple here in Danville. It is Kazem Temple, isn't it? Right through the 32nd degrees right there in Danville. That didn't satisfy me. That didn't satisfy me. One night I was home on Sunday night by myself. Jerry Falwell was on preaching. And he preached directly to me. I mean, I could just smell his old bad breath right through the television. He was cutting me all to pieces, Brother David. He was letting me have it. And he said, whoever you are, you need to rededicate your life. You need to fall on your face, confess your sins. That was in 1967. Haven't been the same since. Haven't been the same since. No, I don't belong to none of those clubs today. I belong to one thing. I belong to the Church of the Living God. And I'm glad I'm a part of His family. We make many excuses. And let me say this. Now, there's nothing wrong with going out into the community and doing social work. We need people that does social work. We need people to work with the Heart Association, the Cancer Fund, different things. We need people to do this. I helped organize the Heart Fund in Pennsylvania County back in Chatham back years ago. I forget, who was the Commissioner of Revenue back then? Come on, some of y'all help me. Well, Meadows. Meadows was the Commissioner of Revenue. He and I together, we organized the Heart Association in Pennsylvania County. Nothing wrong with things like this. But my people, we make excuses to do things like this and leave God's work undone. Come on now. Come on now. Doing this work in the community is good, but let me challenge you. You need not to neglect God's work. Don't neglect your church. Don't neglect what God has called us to do. It's up to us as an individual. Let me give you a good Bible principle. Write this down, fellas. You want this. A good Bible principle. You reject God, God will reject you. I want to be a good preacher. I've tried hard. I have tried hard the last 45 years. I want to be a blessing to folks. I want to be a blessing to the church. But more than anything in my life, I want to please my God. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, brother. Come on in here. I got a place reserved for you." I took my concordance and I run this following phrase down. Check me out, David. I know you're an educator. And it blessed and it pleased the Lord. I ran that as far as I could run it many years ago. And I discovered something. The pleaser receives the benefit from the one that was pleased. You follow me? The pleaser received the benefit from the one that was pleased. Church is up to us. Here we have seen tonight that we need to give ourselves. You know the need of your church. You know the need of your home. You know the need of your community. I call on you tonight to do what God has called us to do. It's practical. It's something that God is asking us to do. It's personal. And bless God, it's pleasing. It's pleasing. If the Lord comes, which I think He will, I really think that I'm living in the generation that will see the coming of the Lord Jesus. I really think I am. I think definitely that you younger people would definitely be living when Jesus comes. I want to be ready to meet my Master. How about you tonight? What have you got to lay at the Master's feet? But Lord, you saved me. Lord, you saved me. I was baptized down that Faith Baptist Church back in 1986. Did you give of yourself? God gave Himself to you. He gave all He had. He laid His life down. He shed His blood. And all He's asking for us to do is to give of ourselves. Let me pray with you. God, our Father, I do pray in Jesus' name that people tonight will be willing to give of themselves to see this church on fire, doing what God has called it to do. Going back to the organizers of the church back in the 70s. And Father, I know that over the years, there's many people in and out of the church. Many people have walked this aisle. Many people have been baptized in this baptismal pool. But Father, we need to go out here tonight and give of ourselves. God, speak to hearts tonight. Revive the Christian. Proclaim the backslider. Do a work in your church. We'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Van.
Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your